हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 68. The gopis continue. Your smiles, your sweet, loving glances, the intimate pastimes and confidential talks we enjoyed with you, all these are auspicious to meditate upon, and they touch our hearts. But at the same time, O deceiver, they very much agitate our minds. Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur elaborates. When we do not see you, all objects related to you also become a cause of suffering for us. Right? Because anything related to Krishna is also udipan for them. Right? So it reminds them of Krishna. So it's a cause for their interaction with Krishna. So if they're in separation, then that pain of separation, then anything connected with him, that is then udipan, then becomes a cause of that feelings of separation. Though we try to forget your sweet smile filled with love, prahasitam, your intimate exchanges with us, viharanam, and all your conversations, samvida, since they give sorrow, we cannot do so, and they have affected our hearts, hridi sprishaha. Meditation gives the highest bliss, but thinking of these things, your smile, your glance, your exchanges, and your conversation, disturbs our minds. When these things enter the mind, they first give bliss, dhyana mangalam, but then after a few seconds, they give the most intense sorrow. Therefore, you are the greatest cheater, kuhaka. When the rogue feeds you cakes, at first they seem tasty, but after some time they give intense pain and then kill you. Right? So it's just they're bringing out the point of that things connected with Krishna give that great happiness, but at the same time, and then the separation, and that gives us that great sorrow. But it's just all in the intensity of that happy bliss of being absorbed in Krishna. It's just that the flavor is different, right? The intensity, the actual aspect of happiness is the same, right? But in separation, it gives a different flavor than it does in meeting. Does that make sense? Yeah?
Yes.
No? Okay. The gopis continued. Dear master, dear lover, when you leave the cowherd village to herd the cows, our minds are disturbed with the thought that your feet, more beautiful than a lotus, will be pricked by the spiked husks of grain and the tough, rough grass and plants. At the end of the day, you repeatedly show us your lotus face, covered with dark blue locks of hair and thickly powdered with dust. Thus, O hero, you arouse lusty desires in our minds. Srila Sanatana Goswami writes, we spend the whole day suffering. Even when you return to Braja in the evening, being unfortunate, we do not attain happiness. At the very end of the day, which has given us pain by long waiting, your lotus face is covered with black locks of hair hanging over your forehead, producing great beauty. This suggests the greatest natural beauty. That face is covered with dust from the cows. This indicates the great beauty of his face. It is a cause of developing love constantly. The evening is also the time of increasing desire, and seeing his face covered by locks indicates the height of beauty. Quote, you show us your face in this condition. If you do not show it and enter your house, our desires would not be aroused. On the pretext of gathering the cows, we see your face constantly. This simply increases the desires more. The gopis continue. Your lotus feet, which are worshipped by Lord Brahma, fulfill the desires of all who bow down to them. They are the ornament of the earth. They give the highest satisfaction, and in times of danger, they are the appropriate object of meditation. O lover, O destroyer of anxiety, please put those lotus feet upon our breasts. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, if you are always thinking that I give you sorrow, then what use am I to you? Fearing such response from Krishna, the gopis then become repentant. Blinded by the suffering inflicted by our karma, we are finding fault with our beloved. In order to please them, they then begin to praise him as the person who gives all happiness. After affirming that he is necessary for them, they then pray that he relieve them of their suffering in two verses. Because they're saying these things just out of that the pain of separation. But if he gets disturbed by that, then they have these other verses that they are going to say to counter that. The gopis continued, O hero, kindly distribute to us the nectar of your lips, which enhances conjugal pleasure and vanquishes relief. That nectar is thoroughly relished by your vibrating flute and makes people forget any other attachment. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur unfolds the verse thusly. The gopis say, O Krishna, you exactly resemble Dhanvantari, the best of physicians. So please give us some medicine, for we are suffering from the disease of romantic desire for you. Don't hesitate to give us the medicinal nectar of your lips freely. Yes, without our paying a substantial price. Since you are a great hero in giving charity, you should give it without any payment, even to the most wretched persons. Consider that we are losing our life and that now you can restore us to life by giving us that nectar. After all, you have already given it to your flute, which is simply a hollow bamboo stick. Krishna says, but the diet of people in this world is the bad one of attachment to wealth, followers, family, and so forth. The particular medicine you've requested should not be given to those who have such a bad diet. The gopis continue, but this medicine makes one forget all other attachments. So wonderful is this herbal drug that it counteracts bad dietary habits. Please give that nectar to us, O hero, since you are most charitable. Notice in here is that even though we're dealing with the element of contrariness that is happening, but in this, it's not contrary, means it takes it's taking the opposite stand, but it's taking the opposite stand within the same topic. Does that make sense? That's important. It's not that contrary means a different topic is brought up. It's the same topic. And so as soon as that's brought up, then they take that topic and then change the application of it. But it's the same topic. Right? They bring up medicine, then he talks about medicine. And then he brings up diet, they talk about diet. Does that make sense? So it's always about the exchange between them. It's not about winning an argument. Right? It's about increasing the taste of exchange. Because if you come up with something else, then where's it going to match? You know? I mean, if you want to see a conversation end really quick, whatever the person says something completely unrelated. And then after a few exchanges, they just stop talking. You know what I'm saying?
That contrariness gives rise to conflicts then.
That kind, yes. But the whole point is it's not that you bring up something else. It may have a connection, but it has a very thin connection. But here, it's no, you're directly talking on the same subject. Does that make sense? Because it's about that. Does that make sense? Yes.
So there is rasa and there is rasabhas. And both are in the same subject. But somehow one is pleasing to the Lord and one is not pleasing. So what would be the difference?
What matches the relationship. Rasa bas means it doesn't match the relationship.
In the sense of the staibhav?
Yes, in the sense of the staibhav. You know, it's just like... Rupa Goswami gives one example where the gopi then seeing Krishna becomes so ecstatic, she says, all glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then goes over and hugs him. He says, that's rasa bhas, because you don't take opulence and then take this.
Okay.
You understand? So that's the thing. Means we're just, let's say, person says, so, you know, it's time for dinner. Oh, I'm not hungry. You know? And then you could go off into, oh, why aren't you hungry? And then, you know, I ate something somewhere else or something. Oh, you're always eating something. You know, you go off in a different thing. No, it's important to be regulated and this and that. So you have to eat now, even if you eat a little bit. You know, so it maintains that relationship. It doesn't get into something else. Right? See, because we get into something else because of the lack of security. But for Krishna and the gopis, there's no problem with the security issues. Right? The relationship's eternal. So in other words, these kind of expressions then on the eternal platform have their best expression. Because on the material platform, then they don't, because we're trying to establish control and enjoyment. But here, they're only exchanging rasa that's based on their relationship. So it's quite different. Is that make sense? Yeah. So that's the yes.
Now, relationships with devotees, then we have some kind of rasa, like friendship or parenthood or something. But at the same time, as devotees, then we try to help each other to reduce the material rasa and bring it to Krishna consciousness.
So you increase spiritual rasa.
Yeah. So sometimes it creates like a difficult situation that some devotees state something that are philosophically correct or Krishna consciously correct, but it breaks that material rasa and therefore it creates unpleasant situations.
Yes, because it has to be within the context of what you're dealing with. Right? That's the whole idea, is that everything's always in context. So then when that's coming up, then within the context of what is the discussion, you have to be able to speak what you're speaking. Does that make sense? So, but that is trouble meaning it's effort. And nowadays, you know, in the name of being practical, so when I say, oh, we're just being practical, that means I don't want to make any effort to accommodate anything outside of what I'm willing to deal with. That's the full translation of being practical.
But that's very practical.
Huh?
That's very practical.
Which?
The one that you just said.
Yes.
If you find your niche and you work from there.
Yes, but the point is then you have to be confident in your position and your relationship with others, and understand the importance of accommodating others. Right? So it's not just about yourself and you getting things done. It's about getting things done in the consideration of everybody else. Right? So that's the actual practical, but that's not where the term practical comes from. Does that make sense? So all it is just, it's self-centered, or the reversal of roles, or different things like that. It's not actually what people think it is. Does that make sense? So it's not that you change the roles. You know, it's just like Radharani was being submissive, so then Krishna became contrary. You know what I'm saying? So you won't get it where both are submissive or both are contrary. If you do, it doesn't work. Right? So then in the modern context, okay, men are more aggressive, so and women are more less aggressive. So then in the modern context, women become more aggressive. All it means is men become more submissive. Not that men are aggressive, women are aggressive, so now they're equals. No, all they do is reverse the roles. So there's no question of, you know, the concept of equality doesn't match here what they're saying. It's equality in that rasa is going to go on. It's just a matter of who's doing what at what time. Does that make sense? So that makes the difficulty, is that it just becomes more muddled, more less easy to understand. Because you have the natural roles. When you do, then they switch, then that's okay, as long as it's there. Then you take that. And then when it's desired to go the other way, then it switches back. But you can't maintain your position and want the other. The woman can't take the masculine position and expect that she'll be dealt with on the feminine position. Right? In other words, she can be aggressive, but you have to be sensitive to her needs. No, if you're aggressive, then you don't have to be sensitive to the needs. And if you're the aggressive one, you have to be sensitive to the other's needs. That's what the aggressive aspect is that you're the one taking the dynamic step to see, to be active according to the other's mood. But they're being aggressive according to their own mood. So therefore, they're taking both the masculine and feminine. So then they're just on their own. So that's why they end up on their own. Because it's complete in itself. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's a matter of seeing how these things go. So they take one mood, and then he'll take another. Well, then they'll go with that mood, and then he'll go with her. I mean, so it just keeps moving on these flow. But each time you see in the group of verses, the taste of what's being tasted is very different. The approach is different, what it is. But the exchange is then based on that. So when one is complete, then they can take up a different one. So, yes.
It was explained previously the three groups of gopis, the main group. Mm-hmm. So with the neutral and Pratipaksha, it's very much established. And Krishna is the Vishaya, they are the Ashrayan, and that mood is maintained all the time. However, with the Radharani's group, Krishna is the Vishai and they're the Ashrai, but then within that they shift constantly the position because to increase the rasa.
Yes.
So that part is very difficult to understand. Because then sometimes Krishna is very much, you know, submissive, and you know, gopis get on his case and he's playing that role, then he gets proud, and then they also proud. They don't give up.
Because they always take that role. Means that no, but you see, sometimes they take that, they become remorseful, and that's what he said here. Yeah. In order to please him, they began to praise him. So it's just a matter of they're confident in their relationship. So as soon as he sees his mood changes, then they adjust with that. Right. So. See, the principle of switching the masculine and feminine role, where the feminine takes up the masculine position, it can be done. And it's a natural expression based on the affection. But it can't be held for very long. You know, it's something that comes up because how the masculine is dealing that appreciation of that, then that role will be taken by the feminine. Right? But it's to just showcase what's appreciated. But as soon as that has been expressed, then it switches back. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Well, wouldn't the switching of roles be more of a sakya-ness?
Sakya. Here it's... There it's, it means you have that aspect in equals, that it may go back and forth. But that's not, it doesn't have the intensity. It's just that who's doing what. You know, it's just like who comes up with the idea or, you know, who follows and stuff like that. That they may move. But this is a different aspect where to increase the flavor of the masculine and feminine, then these aspects will come up.
Would you say maybe it's more of just like a momentary change?
Momentary means it may go on for some short time, but it will always be a short time. It can't be maintained.
Right.
Because masculine is masculine, feminine is feminine. But, you know, it's just like he'll take that role of submission, and then when it starts to work, then he'll become proud. You know, you know, take up that arrogant thing, and then it'll cross the next, then he'll go like that. So it just keeps, these aspects are, they're still maintaining the feminine position where it's about themselves. And Krishna has to adjust to that, but then it has a lot of variety of tastes. You know what I'm saying? So the acharyas point out something so that, what do you say? We can appreciate that there, you know, how many nice things are going on like that. And if one knows the science, then one understands what's coming up or what's this and that. Like sometimes you heard them say, someone is speaking, and other gopis will say, this is going to happen now. Right? Because one mood is being taken, then they know what's the natural compatible mood with that. So then you expect that then some other the anubhavs will change, or the centuries will change. Does it make any sense? Or?
Maharaj, can we say that the devotees in Dwarka, they exhibit more of rasabhas than the Braja devotees?
Would we say that the residents of Dwarka manifest more rasa bhas than the residents of Vrindavan? Could we say that?
Yeah. Can you say?
Means you can say whatever you like, but whether it's true or not is another thing. See, is that, first of all, those who are the eternal associates, there is zero rasa bhas. Right? Rasa bhas happens with those who are being trained because they don't quite understand the position.
Because one case of Kunti Maharani was then discussed by Jiva Goswami.
What is being discussed?
Kunti's Rasabhas was discussed by Jiva Goswami.
Kunti's Rasabhas.
Yeah, so she was in Dwarka that time, and then like this happened.
So now that Kunti is manifesting some Rasabhas, now all the Dwarkavasis are Rasabhasis. Means, what is the importance of this? You know what I'm saying? What is the cause for this to be a discussion?
There shouldn't be a cause necessarily.
There shouldn't be a cause. It's just speculation, just for fun. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, mental speculation doesn't have so much advantage because it doesn't have a practical application. So the point is in our practice, do we want to be able to be practicing properly or not?
Yes.
So then that's the whole point. Does that make sense? Yes. So therefore we have to be careful of all that. Now, in music you have, oh my God. The names. Yeah, I don't even remember the Sanskrit names. But you have whatever is the notes that will be there, what going up, going down. Then you have the main note, right? Then you have the secondary note, right? But then you have the opposing note, right? So in ragas, do they use the opposing note?
Mm-hmm.
Not at all, never. That's why they use, very rarely. And what does it do when they use it? If you know how to use it, how does it? What does it do?
Wakes you up.
Yeah.
Gives a different flavor.
It gives a different flavor. It gives a different aspect, and then it comes around. Like, in other words, but now, can a ordinary student use that?
No.
No, only the very advanced people can use that.
Yes.
So, hence, yeah. Kunti being very advanced, then yes. Like that. So. Therefore, we are not in that position. That made sense?
No, I've never heard Kunti was in the Rasabhas relationship.
It's the first time I'm hearing also. It said Jiva Goswami made some comments. So that must be coming up in the Dwarka pastime. So the point is these things are used for a very specific occasion. They're not just happening on a regular basis. So it's just a matter of knowing exactly how to use these things. You know, it's just like contrariness. Then it's a flavor. Right? You have to know how to use it. So you see, the gopis will be contrary, but then when they see it's not going well, then they switch to a different mood. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of, the whole point is it's about pleasing Krishna. So they know how he likes to deal, so therefore then they create the variety within this. Otherwise it would be the same every time. Like we said, men just do the same thing every time. It's the ladies that make the variety. Right? The guy has some preparation he likes. Technically he could eat it every night for the next 2 months. No problem. But because he had that last night, the lady's going to cook something else tonight, even though he would like that, because variety is important. Right? And that variety is then nice, because that's nice. And so then it keeps that in a very special thing. So that all the different things that are very important, then they're brought out at a time when they have more meaning. In other words, he's going to, on an ordinary night, eat what he likes the best. But the ladies will only bring out what's liked best on more special occasions. Because otherwise, if it's best, it's best appreciated in a better situation. Right? So ordinary nights, you do more general things. Does this make sense? Yes. So that's what they're doing. They're bringing out these different varieties of rasa. Does that make sense? Okay. Yes.
In the material world, we can say that everything is based on rasa-bhas relationship, that we're trying to be the center of attention.
Yes.
So then, for us, as the sadhakas, the easiest solution seems to be is to shift to the shantaras and then maintain the status quo and not to...
But can we always maintain it? Because as long as we always maintain it, it works. But if it's sometimes we maintain it and sometimes we don't, then it's the same position. That for ourselves we maintain shantaras, and then when the shantaras isn't working out so well, then we'll take another flavor. But if you can always maintain that Shanta Ras, then that'll be appreciated by others, and that'll be the relationship. But it will lack the intensity. So if we want intensity only where we want it, not where we don't want it, then it won't work. But if we're okay with a lack of intensity on all levels, like that, then it works nicely. You know, like you see the four Kumaras, or Narad Muni, they're always acting on that position. You know what I'm saying? So that's, in that case, you could say they're in Shanta Ras, because that's how they deal. They're always in that neutral state. But we see with Narad Muni, his actual relationship with the Lord is not Shanta. That's his position he functions from, but it's not the relationship. So that's why then that's the meaning. The sage is equal to everyone and deals with everyone according to their position, how to make them more Krishna conscious. So it doesn't matter to them if they're friendly or inimical. He'll deal appropriately with everybody. Right? It's not that he deals the same. He deals appropriately. Does that make sense? Because we'll deal very nicely with someone who's a friend, neutrally with an acquaintance, and not nicely with someone we don't like. Right? So we're dealing beyond appropriate with one and less than appropriate with another and appropriate with the middle. But they'll deal what's appropriate on all levels. Someone's more close, you deal appropriately with that, respond with that that's more friendly. The one that's more inimical, then you'll deal appropriate with that. It may be a little bit more, you know, it may have a bit more of a subdued tête-à-tête aspect to it. You know, they make their comment. Like I remember seeing two devotees, elder, I mean like seriously elder, like 70s or above, Bengali, you know, Calcutta Bengali gentlemen who had become devotees and were in Vrindavan. And they're really, really nice because they're gentlemen, right? But when the two of them would meet, you could understand that they really did not like each other. But how they would discuss, you think it's a wonderful conversation. But if you understand the flavor, you could understand as if with each statement they were completely trashing the other person. But how they would do it, you know what I'm talking about. Yes, It's a, what do you call it? You could say it's a Bengali hallmark. They have the franchise, you know. They can do it better than anyone. So it's just that you would, the dealing will be appropriate. Like they're there, they're standing, they're holding each other's hand, and like this, you know, as you're supposed to. And that, and oh, you're so nice you could come today. You know, generally you're always so busy, you know, with so many important things and all that, that you can't attend all these, you know, nice programs, meaning you're doing your own thing, and why don't you come to the temple program? You know, and the other one is, yes, you know, it does happen, but, you know, it's just, I'm unable to, you know, how you say, I'm unable to you know, necessarily look at just what's best for, you know, what, you know, myself, how I should be doing things like that. And so sometimes I have to consider other situations and that, you know, meaning, yeah, you do it because you want everyone to think that you're a great sadhu. That's why you go, you know. So like this, you know, they would go on like this for like 5 minutes. You know, it was impressive. They could just, and each time it was something new, you know, they would take from that and go on and all that. And but if you didn't know, if you weren't Bengali, you'd think these guys were best friends. So, you know, that's the meaning of dealing nicely and everything like that. And even if you don't like them, yeah.
It's a common thing in Indian relatives also. There are like two of them who don't like each other. Like when we were children, we think everything is so nicely going on. After they go out, then there's another discussion for half an hour that what each and every word they say, how it is not correct. And
yes. Yes, that's...
The commentary.
The commentary of the acharyas. Yeah. The word by word grammatical. Yeah, yes.
Devotees say that for sadhakas, shantaras is a natural position, and only then they cross and go to other rasas. This is what.
Shantaras is the natural position for a sadhaka. Shantaras with who?
With Krishna. And
with
then
Krishna.
Progress.
And then progress. I see. Narad Muni and the four Kumaras are mentioned as Shantarasa. So we as sadhakas are on that platform? No. So then why would we even say that? Why would we get involved with that? As if we're on a platform of rasa with Krishna in the first place.
Because they say that that is the way the progression takes place. You know?
That's the way the progression takes place. I see.
Some devotees were not happy with this, but then they just...
Sorry?
Few of the devotees were not happy with this.
No, but the point is why would we even discuss rasa when rasa, you know, is basically, you can say, from bhava, you can say that you can function within these things. Mm. So, as sadhakas below that, why would we even bring that up? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, that's like saying, you know, two dweebs on the street are talking about, you know, first you should just start with taking this, you know, big, whoever is the big starlet these days in Bollywood, you know, out to dinner. Is there any reality to that?
No.
No. So then why are we even discussing it? The point is this, we don't, you know, right now, we're, our relationship with Krishna is more of, on a good day, chivalry. Because we're trying to be the controller and enjoyer, and somehow or another we found out that, well, actually he is, but we're very slow to relinquish our position. So I wouldn't...
So Maharaj, in our ISKCON community, devotees should take a note that one should have the adhikar to even discuss rasa. Like one cannot, anybody cannot just discuss about it.
It's a matter of discuss. The tattva of it is the acharyas give. You know, it means when Krishna book is there, we go through. But the point is it's about surrender to Krishna. That's the thing. It's not the detail of it. It's about that surrender. Why are the gopis engaging with Krishna in this way? Because it pleases Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they're doing, and then all the various aspects of how they're pleasing Krishna. So that's what we're seeing here, is that we go to please Krishna, and then as the situation adjusts, then we see how to use that situation to please Krishna. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
The gopis The gopis continued. When you go off to the forest during the day, a tiny fraction of a second becomes like a millennium for us, because we cannot see you. And even when we can eagerly look upon your beautiful place, so lovely with its adornment of curly locks, our pleasure is hindered by our eyelids, which were fashioned by the foolish creator. Dear Achyuta, you know very well why we have come here. Who but a cheater like you would abandon young women who come to see him in the middle of the night, enchanted by the loud song of his flute? Just to see you, we have completely rejected our husbands, children, ancestors, brothers, and other relatives. Srila Jiva Goswami writes, Krishna may say, you are clever, you know my nature, why were you not careful? To which they continue, though we know your nature, we became enchanted by that song, since it is actually some bewitching mantra. Besides, what person would reject women whom he has personally brought, and in the middle of the night? No one would do this. Therefore, O cheater, would even a cheater reject us? Your behavior shows why everyone calls you a cheater. O Achyuta, you do not waver from your nature. You are called this because of your cheating quality. The gopis continued. Our minds are repeatedly bewildered as we think of the intimate conversation we had with you in secret. Feel the rise of lust in our hearts and remember your smiling face, your loving glances and your broad chest, the resting place of the goddess of fortune. Thus we experience the most severe hankering for you, O beloved. Your auspicious appearance vanquishes the desires of those living in Braj's forests. Our minds long for your association. Please give to us a bit of that medicine which counteracts the disease in your devotees' hearts. O dearly beloved, your lotus feet are so soft that we place them gently on our breasts, fearing that your feet will be hurt. Our life rests only in you. Our minds, therefore, are filled with anxiety that your tender feet might be wounded by pebbles as you roam about on the forest path. Srila Sanatana Goswami writes, till now they have made their request, expressing their desire in many ways. In conclusion, thinking of the Lord wandering in the forest, imagining the pain to his lotus feet, they lose interest in their request and pray for his happiness while crying, showing intense prema. Okay. So the mood is then changes in that their first very, the pains of separation, they're upset with the Lord, how could he do this, then worried that that will upset him. So then they adjust, bringing that mood back to how they are interested to interact with him and how they would like to interact with him. But then thinking about how when he goes to the forest, then his feet may become hurt, getting distracted by that, then they forget all these other things and they're only worried about that aspect. Right? So in other words, you can see it's always about Krishna. It's not about themselves. Right?
And in relationship, who sets the mood of both in conjugal rasa? It can be equal. Is that in the mood and that?
It means the feminine nature always has a particular mood it's in. The masculine then will deal with that in that mood at that time, then that dealing then will create then further adjustments. So it's always going to go back and forth, is that the seeing the mood means the feminine is already in a mood. The masculine seeing that mood begins an interaction. Then depending upon that interaction, then the feminine mood, may continue like that, change. And then as it adjusts, the masculine adjusts for that. So in other words, the masculine is adjusting for the mood of the feminine, and the feminine is responding to the mood of the masculine. Does that make sense? So both are changing it, but one's doing it by response, one's doing it by adjustment. And then that adjustment, then you respond there. So you understand?
And can we say that in the Brahminical society, the fluctuation is the least?
Means yes, amongst Brahmins it'd be the least because the material attachments and these are the least. But the point is it doesn't mean the experience they give, I mean the experience they have, doesn't seem as great as the others. Because the area they move within is small. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is that let's say you have a small kid, he gets a rasgulla. If he gets another rasgulla, that's like a lot, it's double. Right? But if you have like Bhima, then, you know, we're talking in, you know, very large pots of rasgullas, you know. So the whole thing is that he could eat 20 pots, so if you bring 40 pots, now we're talking impressive. But for the child, he has one, you give him two, it's double. So it's the same experience, but it's just in that smaller. So it's easier to deal with in the way of being Krishna conscious. Because the extremity or the intensity is not as great. But the experience that this is so much is the same. But because it is small, then by that thought, then the intensity of that thought can be, you know, equal or greater. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why you see the Brahmins, they go, they're affected, but they can also correct themselves and adjust with the things. While others have a tendency to be so overwhelmed that they can't. That's why for the Brahmins, if anything goes wrong, there's technically no punishment for them. Because just understanding that, you know, it's wrong or it's been pointed out or it becomes obvious, then they'll correct themselves. While others, then they keep going on in the mood, so it becomes harder. So that's why on most things, the lower down it is, the heavier the punishment. Because it takes that much punishment to snap them out of that mood. Well, the Brahmins, just by realizing that it's wrong, that's enough. Does that make sense? Yeah. The gopis continued. Oh, no, we did that. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns all 19 verses in this chapter to Bhagavad Akramichimala, chapter 20, entitled The Sweetness of Rasa, Rasa Madhurima, which is in the Prayojana section of the book. So just that absorption in that sweetness with Krishna, then is the... Okay. Chapter 32, The Reunion. Pratigya, the Lord perfectly reciprocates with his devotees. Chapter 32 summarizes questions and answers. The gopis ask Krishna question 10:18 of Srimad Bhagavatam from 10:32:16. The gopis said, some people reciprocate the affection only of those who are affectionate towards them, while others show affection even to those who are indifferent or inimical, and yet others will not show affection towards anyone. Dear Krishna, please properly explain this matter to us. Krishna answers this question in verses 17 through 22. Adhyaya Prakashika. In the 32nd chapter, Srila Sukadeva Goswami describes how Krishna returned to the gopis. Krishna appeared before the gopis. The gopis worshipped him, and Krishna responded with the words of prema to pay his debt to them. Sardartha Darshani, 10:32:1. The gopis, having shown in various ways their great eagerness to see Krishna, the attractor of Cupid, he appeared before them wearing silken yellow garments and a beautiful flower garland. Some of the gopis, overwhelmed with ecstasy at seeing him, clasped his hands. Others placed his arm on their shoulders, and others accepted the remnants of betel nut he had chewed. Thus they served him. One gopi, impelled by loving anger towards Krishna, bitter lip and look askance at him. Because the gopis were so attached to Krishna, they were not satiated even by continuously gazing at him. One of them placed Krishna within her heart, closed her eyes and embraced him within herself again and again. became absorbed in transcendental bliss, just like a yogi. In this way, the pain of the gopis had, the pain the gopis had felt because of separation from the Lord was dispelled. Next, Lord Krishna went to the bank of the Jamuna in the company of the cowherd girls, his internal potencies. The gopis then made a seat for Krishna out of their shawls, and after he had sat down, they enjoyed with him by gesturing amorously. The gopis felt hurt that Krishna had disappeared, so he explained to them why he had done so. He further told them that he had come under the exclusive control of the loving devotion and would ever remain indebted to them. Shloka Anusharana. Verses 1 to 15. The gopis received their beloved. 16 to 22. The science of affection. Verses 1 to 16. The gopis received their beloved. Sukadeva Goswami said, O king, having thus sung and spoke their hearts out in various charming ways, the gopis began to weep loudly. They were very eager to see Lord Krishna. Then Lord Krishna, a smile on his lotus face, appeared before the gopis, wearing a garland and a yellow garment. He directly appeared as one who can bewilder the mind of Cupid, who himself bewilders the minds of ordinary people. So Cupid bewilders the ordinary people, so that means he's really good. So Krishna, his attractiveness is so beautiful and so great that he can bewilder the mind of Cupid. Right? So, yes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Sukadeva Goswami used the word Sauri for Krishna, indicating him as a Kshatriya, in order to show favor to the gopis, to show displeasure with him. Because Krishna was born as a Kshatriya, who have crooked hearts, he displayed that nature by giving sorrow to the gopis. If he had been born a cowherd, who are by nature soft and honest, he would not have done like that. This is the hint Sukadeva Goswami gives by using the word Sauri. Because of this, though the gopis were suffering, he was broadly smiling. Swayam mana mukham bhujaha. Actually, he was smiling to please the gopis, and the suffering of the gopis pained his lotus heart. He appeared with a yellow cloth over his shoulders and hanging in front on both sides. And folding his hands, he asked them for forgiveness. Oh, okay. Because that's a standard thing in puja, you know, wearing the cloth around the neck. That's a sign of submission and things like that. That's how puja, you always use cloth in that sign of submission. So it's either around the neck, on one shoulder, under the arm with the right arm exposed, or around the waist, like this. So Krishna used this one.
How do you use it?
He'll have like that. You know, it's not a problem. But here it's hanging down. It's not wrapped around or anything. You know. So I'm saying in Bengal, this is generally the standard one they use. In South, they'll generally use on the shoulder, under the arm, around the waist. Though they do use the under the arm one quite commonly also, or on the shoulder. They generally don't do around the waist one though in Bengal. He asked them for forgiveness. He wore a garland to show the gopis what Radha had given him. Right, because the point was he has to establish that Radharani's position as superior to them all. He was directly Cupid, one who agitated their mind, because though Cupid bewilders the whole world, when he came to bewilder Krishna by taking the form of a woman, seeing Krishna's beauty, Cupid himself became pierced with arrows of love and fainted. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna Book, when Lord Krishna finally appeared among the assembled gopis, he looked very beautiful, just befitting a person with all kinds of opulences. In the Brahma Samhita it is said, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavita Vihi. Krishna alone is not particularly beautiful, but when his energy, especially his pleasure energy, represented by Radharani, expands, he looks very magnificent. Right, so So this Atmarama aspect is not actually that attractive. It's not in comparison. Krishna is always attractive, but in comparison it's not. So when he expands his internal potency, that's when he becomes very, very beautiful. right? That mood then he takes on. The Mayavadi conception of perfection and absolute truth without potency is due to insufficient knowledge. Actually, outside the exhibition of his different potencies, the absolute truth is not complete. Like his Atmarama, he has all these other aspects of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. So if he's only taking the Sankarshan aspect of Sambandha as Atmarama, then the others being there in their unmanifest state, it's not as full as if these are manifest. So when they're manifest, then that means then that completeness is there. So trying to see Krishna as a person without seeing all this, then is not actually seeing him in a complete way. That's why the understandings of Brahman and Paramatma in themselves are incomplete. If they're seen in connection with the Supreme Lord as Bhagavan, then they become complete. Okay. Sukadeva Goswami continued. When the gopis saw that their dearmost Krishna had returned to them, they all stood up at once. And out of their affection for him, their eyes bloomed wide. It was as if the air of life had re-entered their bodies. Right. So that's a difference in blooming wide and just the eyes become wide. Right? Because that's one of the symptoms. If you walk into the room where there's someone who's inimical to you, you can tell that by when you walk in, their eyes become very big. Like that. But that's not blooming. Because here it's the happiness, so you know it'll have a very different flavor. So here is Krishna, who they're expecting. He comes. So in other words, someone comes who you are hoping will come, but don't know when they will. And someone, you know, so there's that element of unknown. And someone you don't expect to show up who does, then that the eyes will get bigger. But the one is blooming because of the happiness. So that will show in the whole face, the smiling, the eyes, the. That's therefore it's called blooming. Otherwise, then it's just big eyed. You know, you can see the fear, you know, like that. When the gopis saw that their dearmost Krishna had returned to them, they stood up at once, and out of their affection for him, their eyes bloomed wide. It was as if the air of life had re-entered their bodies. Footnote 24. So many footnotes. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura assigns verses 1 to 3 to Bhagavad Arkramichi Mala, chapter 20, entitled The Sweetness of Rasa, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakura's book. And so this just affection that they feel and the happiness they feel, you know, one being absorbed and then when Krishna comes, it's just that aspect of the sweetness is there. One gopi joyfully took Krishna's hand between her folded palms. And another placed his arm, anointed with sandalwood paste, on her shoulder. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Five verses, 4 to 8, describe the personal loving activities of some of the principal gopis. One gopi held Krishna's right hand in hers. This is understood because in the second half of the verse, it is described that another gopi put his other hand, decorated with sandalwood pictures, on her shoulder. That would be his left hand, since it is proper from the gopis to stand left of Krishna. The gopi took his hand out of courteous friendship and explicit eagerness. Because of the reverential touch of the gopi, we understood that she was of the subservient group, Dakshina, fully surrendered to Krishna, Paradhina, thinking herself as belonging to Krishna, with Grita Sneha, reverence. So the Sneha is there, but it has that aspect of reverence. So there's the Dakshinas means that they belong to Krishna, so that respect is always there for Krishna. Footnote 25. The following passage from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura's Jiva Dharma, chapter 36, Madhurya Rasa, part 6, explains Grita Sneha. Vijaya, are there different types of Sneha? Goswami, in fact, Snehas of two types. Grita Sneha, love like ghee, and Madhu Sneha, love like honey. Vijaya, what is Grita Sneha? The Sneha which adds Adara, intense affectionate honor and adoration to Prema, is called Grita Sneha. Grita, clarified butter, is not intrinsically sweet as honey. However, it becomes very delectable when sugar, honey, or other ingredients are added. Similarly, Grita Sneha is extremely relishable when specific bhavas are mixed with it as condiments. Grita Sneha is cooling by nature and when adara is repeatedly added, it thickens and becomes more concentrated, just like clarified butter or butter fat, and so acquires the same name. Right, so when these things these are added, then this kind of sneha then takes on, you know, it becomes very tasty. So that's then what's being given here. So it is a flavor. It is a kind of flavor. So because we have to remember is that something, if we're dealing with the feminine nature, then variety is what's important, right? And so in variety, then you have to have all ranges, right? And so in the range, then that's where you say, this is the best. Otherwise, if this is the best and you get rid of everything else, then it's very limited in its application. So having the wide range, that's then what makes things something perfect. Does that make sense? Yes.
It sounds like this kind of love is not very tasty on its own. It needs some other ingredients for it.
But that means the ingredients itself, it's being added to the conjugal rasa, it's being added to the various, you know, different flavors that are going on there, the different activities. So in that way, then it becomes tasty. But the point is that it has that position of affectionate honor and adoration. Right? So that's there. But then the other activities that go along with it, then add, like it says, condiments that will fill it out. Does that make sense?
Let's see the example of Rukmini, who also is Krita Sneha.
Yes, Rukmini is that means, yes. But you're basically, yeah. But here, yes. So it will bring out different aspects, because then at the dealings, the words used, you know, all these things, then they'll add to the and give it some flavor. Just like it said, ghee, then when you put different condiments in that, it becomes nice. But if it's just ghee on its own, then, you know, it's how you say, very nourishing. But when you add other things to it, then it becomes better. Does that sound interesting?
So it is considered a rasa on its own, actually.
It's an aspect of sneha. Means all these different things. You have prema, so you have all the varieties of prema, then sneha, it'll have its varieties. All these different levels of prema have their various aspects. And then those have their sub-aspects, then how you mix them, and like that. It's a very great science. That's what Rupa Goswami, the Nectar of Devotion, it's the complete science. So it's actually quite a big work, you know, to explain all these different things. Right? So all it's doing is explaining means we generally hear of, you know, I am Krishna's or Krishna's mind. But this is then what the nature of that kind of in sneha is. So how they'll react in the other aspects then will also have various flavors. Right? So all these flavors are there, all to please Krishna. Right? And so that variety that's there, that range, then that from that range, then they're all nice, but then from within that you can say this is the best. Right? So that's then what Krishna's establishing here. So all these wide ranges of interaction are all perfect as long as they're seen in connection to the best. Because if they're there on their own, they're nice. But it'll never give the effect of the best. But if the best is there and you have these, then it just adds to it. You know, does that make sense? Yeah, that's the whole point. Since she was mentioned first, it may be concluded that she was senior most of that group, Chandravali. Right? So because she's mentioned first, then they would come forward, right? Because that's the nature. I belong to Krishna, so they go forward. Right? That's the natural thing. While if Krishna's mine, you just have to wait, because he's yours, he will come. So there'll be a difference in flavor there. And because she came first, she's mentioned first, then the acharya is pointing out, so that would it may be concluded that it would be the senior most of that group, because that whole group would consider her the senior most, and you know, because they're dealing in this aspect of adara. So then that respect, that honor, that adoration, that would be given to her because she's the best at this area. Right? Because we have, means there's millions of gopis here that we're talking about for this night. Of that, 16,000 are prominent. Of the 16,000, 108 are prominent. Of the 108, 8 are prominent. And of the 8, 2 are prominent. So Radharani and Chandravali. Right? So they're the prominent of this. So you basically say it's the right and the left, and then within that, then you have the next. They're the main. Then you have another three in each group of that that makes the prominent 8, you know, right and left. And after that, then the 108, then the 16,000. Yeah, yeah.
We say that as Gaudiyas, that's the taste Madhuri Rasa that we aspire, being Rupanungus.
Yes.
And Rupa Manjari is servant of Srimati Radharani.
Right.
So it means in our line we aspire for that wing.
Means that's being offered. What you want to aspire for is another thing. But that's what's being offered.
Because that's what express all our acharyas.
Yeah, but it's like this. It means it's being offered. You know, we have here the, how you say, the nice, you know, how you say, car, and then you have the better car. It's just, you can choose whichever you want, because it's free will. But, you know. You understand? In other words, we're not saying, this is it, and then we start preaching this. No, it's a matter of taste. You know, it's just like, let's say you have a what do you call it? Buffet. Right? And there's so many preparations. And you like what you like. And people may understand that that's that, but you don't have someone standing up there and say, this is the only one to take, don't take all those others, those aren't any good, this and that. That would ruin the mood. Right? So in other words, the flavor is there, it's being offered, you like it, you take it. But it's not something that's preached about, it's something that's appreciated and tasted. So that's why we have to be very, very careful in when we take it too far. That's why, therefore, you see when they deal with it, they're dealing with it very pleasantly. Because they don't want it to make it into a thing, because as soon as it's this is it and nothing else, then how does that maintain its specialness? It's special because you have all these others. So therefore the others are appreciated because of how, in other words, if Chandravali and her group are there, then we appreciate how that brings out the taste of Radharani as superior. Because if they're not there, then how will you get that appreciating it on so many levels? That makes sense. So that's how you can compare. That's how you can tell. So they're always appreciated, but it's just that. But then you see in the pastimes, then they may avoid. But as far as the principle goes, then they always appreciate because they know they're there just to bring out the glory of Radharani. That's their service. Another gopi, characterized by a slightly reverential embrace, was an independent lover, Svadina, of the submissive group, Dakshina, with explicit expression of affection. Marusneha, possessive, mixed with Grihasneha, reverence. Right? So that means this, because you have the independence. Right? You have those who are in this group, those who are in that group, you have those that are not, they're independents. But they may favor one group or favor another group, but they're independents. Right. Footnote 26. When sneha is infused with a feeling that the lover, madiyatva, belongs, i.e., he is mine, and is thus the property of the beloved, then this transcendental affection is known as madhu sneha. This type of sneha is excessively nectarian and the melting pot of many rasas. Being independently most sweet and passionate, madhu sneha has the properties to cause loving inebriation and is thus heating. Therefore, having the characteristics of honey, it is called Madhusneha, Jiva Dharma, chapter 36. Right? So one creates heat, one creates cooling. right? Because that submission and all that, that creates a cooling, you know, and that has its pleasantness. The other one creates heat, and so that creates, it has its own flavor.
Maharaj, that then the neutral group then keeps shifting the position, like depending.
No, not necessarily. It means it's just that maybe a little more of this or a little more of that. You know what I'm saying? Is that some sense? It means it's not that they, because if they kept shifting groups, no one would trust them, wouldn't they? Yeah.
Yes. He doesn't have the connection. That connection, somebody has that taste, or everybody has this taste in the spiritual world.
I couldn't catch.
You explained answer to Maharaj's question that you don't. It's gonna be. It's a matter of taste. Somebody takes on that.
Yes.
Then Srila Prabhupada is founder Acharya, and they have the preaching mission. We try to inspire everyone.
We inspire everyone to take up Krishna consciousness. And then in Krishna consciousness, as you become purified, then a particular relationship with Krishna naturally becomes manifest, because the spiritual body is covered by the gross body. So the more we're attached to the gross body, the less we can appreciate the spiritual body. But the first principle is that I am servant of Krishna. We accept the soul. And then from that, these other things will develop. But they come as a natural course of events of practicing devotional service. Right? Does that make sense? Like if I put potatoes into a pot of boiling water and leave them for 20 minutes, what happens? Yeah, so it's automatic. So some may complain, which is the standard, that they'll complain, no, but it's not automatic, it just happens on its own, you have to do something. We did. We put the potatoes into the boiling water. And it's not that I can do something. It's not that if I wiggle my fingers, it'll cook quicker or something. Or sit there and lean at it, stare at it, or go cook, cook, cook. You know, or what is it? Where are you supposed to? Yeah, I can't remember where you're supposed to touch, where you make them blow up, and you know, it's on your forehead or something, you know, it's like that by the meditation, and then the potatoes will cook. You know, so, you know, understand? You have done what's recommended. You put them into the boiling water and you leave them. If I take them out after 5 minutes, they won't be cooked. So that's the point. If we follow what's recommended, then it's automatic, the results. Because if we say, no, I have to do something, that means then we're producing the results, which we're not. Krishna, he gives prema. We don't produce prema.
This thing that Srila Prabhupada has found the Acharya, how far the thing is that, like, for us, Srila Prabhupada is everything.
Yes.
How much we put it, teach it to other people. Like,
anybody who's interested in ISKCON, we teach it to everybody. And if they're not interested in ISKCON, then we don't bring it up, because you don't bring up things that will cause other people to make offense. If they bring it up and they appreciate, then you can talk. But only how much they appreciate. After that, you stop. You know what I'm saying? But within ISKCON, then how are they ISKCON if they don't accept that position of Prabhupada as the founder of Charya? What's the meaning? It doesn't have any. That's what makes ISKCON. Was that? Yes.
So can we say that by gaining appreciation in this particular line, the taste will develop automatically?
Yes. If we follow what's recommended, we hear and chant, we read, we see what Prabhupada and the Acharyas are saying, and the heart becomes purified, then at some point then there's an attraction. So when that attraction will come, you can't say. It's not that, you know, it'll be, you know, it's not like the potatoes. You know, we know 20 minutes like that. But here it's just a matter, at any point it can come. Basically anywhere from Nishta up to Bhava. Anywhere in there it can happen. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's one prayer that Raghunath Das Goswami, he prays to Sanatana Goswami, and he says, I didn't have any taste for pure devotional service. However, Sanatana Goswami, by his own sweet will, he forced me to taste the Bhakti Rasa.
Yes. So that's why we that surrender to Guru, because Guru is going to make sure that we practice properly so that we are able to appreciate. Because the mentality is also part of the practice. In the beginning, we only see the activity. Then with time, we see that the proper mood, the proper attitude is also important. You know, therefore, the Sankirtan mission is given. But to make that successful, then there has to be that mood of humility. Right? Tolerance, respect, not looking for respect. Right? So we start to see that. Then with that, the finer attitudes that I don't want anything from this world, I see myself as a servant of Krishna. So that just naturally develops. We don't separately make that happen. I mean, that's the difficulty. Some will say, no, there's the path. But the path is a mood. Path's not an activity. Does that make sense? The activities that, whether one's a Vaidhi or a Raganuga Sadhana Bhakta, they're both called Sadhana Bhaktas. So the 64 items of Sadhana Bhakti, they are common for both. It doesn't change. There's this idea, no, there's this separate path, but that's not a reality at all. It's a matter of the attitude is the difference, right? Means Bhaktivinoda Thakura in the Chaitanya Shikshamrita, then he points out that there's four reasons that people worship the Lord. One is out of fear, one is out of desire for some benefit, then one is out of a sense of duty, you know, knowledge of duty, and another is out of that spontaneous just love for the Lord. It doesn't require that. So, but by performing these activities, you perform the activities you should. It may be done out of fear or out of desire for something, but since devotional service itself gives so much happiness, right? Because of this nature of bliss. Therefore, that taste of bliss one will find greater than the material benefits one gains from approaching Krishna. So then one will come to that point of worshipping. Or one's doing because one's supposed to, then that aspect of the mode of goodness, that has its taste, but the taste of devotional service is greater. So then at some point one sees that one is doing this simply because it pleases Krishna. You're not doing it because of fear, wanting something, or because it's duty. Right? So since we don't have that natural spontaneous position, we start on the trying to do because of duty. Right? This is Krishna's God, this is we're the soul, we're his servant, therefore we follow this process. So the Vaidhi Sadhana is then given. But now, if we're performing the activities, you know, of Sadhana Bhakti from the mood of Vaidhi, but then with time we start to see it's about pleasing Krishna, so we give up performing the Vaidhi for the benefit we'll get from removing the fear of the material world, getting the benefits of the material world, or because it's the dutiful and the right thing to do, or gratefulness, then it'll be just to please Krishna. Then it moves into that. So the form doesn't change like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's given that one can say, no, but you're supposed to remember. It says you're supposed to remember in Vaidhi Bhakti also. It's part of the always remember Krishna, never forget. That's what all rules are for. Right? So therefore, then you follow the activities that are recommended. Now, in following the activities that are recommended, then there's two focuses. One is that this is what should be done, and the other is to avoid what shouldn't be done. Right? Because there's yama and niyama. So in that, some focus on yama, some focus on niyama. It means they're doing both, but they're focusing on, I have to do this because this is wrong, rather than I have to do this because this is right. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? There's a slight difference in the mood. And so, at one point, both of those are given up, that it's just that it pleases Krishna. Is that? Yes.
We see with the gopis here, is that before they met Krishna, they remembered him, and that was one kind of remembrance.
Yes.
But then after meeting and separating from him, then it was by far greater than before.
Yes. But it's not a matter of sadhana. It's not that I can, how you say, improve the quality of my remembrance because I'm saying that's what I'm going to do. I can make the endeavor to try to always remember Krishna. The difference is they remember spontaneously while we have to remember because we're supposed to. So even if we say, no, but it's Raganuga Bhakti, I'm remembering Krishna and the gopis and, you know, Vrindavan and all these different things and the details of that, but I'm doing that because that's what I'm supposed to. So as a Raganuga Sadada, this is what you have to do. That's Vaidhi, just by definition. Like that. So there is no separate performance. It's just that by taste, then that's what's remembered, that's what's absorbed in. But the activities you do from the outside, you can't tell the difference, because if you could tell the difference, then the example of the wife performing your duties even better so that the husband doesn't know she has a paramour wouldn't have any meaning, because her remembrance would mean she's acting in a different way. But that's the whole point, is that the 64 items remain exactly the same. You know, and then according to, you know, which ones you're doing and this and that, that's by your taste or by your level of development or absorption. But the point is when the five main ones are more prominent for you, then that's how that's what you're trying to do. So you're always remembering Krishna. That's actually so the solution is that. It's just like just as an example. If you in the classical Indian classical music, then they're able to sing a very wide range of notes, you know, because the aboga then goes up into the higher octave. Right? The sthai, the antara are generally within the main and just the top of the lower one, and that, and then the sometimes the antara can go above, but then the sanchari, that'll tend to go above and then come down, but the aboga is just in the upper octave. So that means you have to be able to sing high. So now the natural thing to by logic and by the modern music, you practice singing high by practicing singing high. But in the Vedic, it says no. You practice singing high by singing low. So in other words, the higher you want to go, you have to practice singing lower. So you have to try to go down 2, 3, 4 octaves low. Like that. I was told that one of the top singers, he would do that, you know, it's like more of a meditation. It means, because when you get way down there, 2, 3 octaves, 4 octaves down, you can't hear it. But they can, within their mind, hear it. Does that make sense? And so like that, they're practicing there. Then when you do that really nicely, then you'll see, then you can sing high. Then in the natural course of singing the raga, you can sing high. So that you'll get the practice of singing high. But the actual technique to be able to do that is singing low. So that's the thing. In the Vedic, it doesn't necessarily make sense by the modern intellectual method, which is a common disease that the living entity, conditioned living entity, wants to do. It has to make sense to my intellect. Then only I will do it, rather than, no, we stick to what the acharyas give us. And so they say, practice sadhana bhakti, all the 64 items. And that will then bring about rag. Because rag comes by association. So by hearing from the acharyas and this and that, that's how it comes. It's not that I can do something to make it happen. No, it's by association. And then what I do is there. Because if the uttamadhikari is using the mentality of a madhyama but presenting himself in practices like a kanista, then why would we think that it's something different? So that's the whole thing, is that these things come from, you know, how you say, sources that aren't very good. right? And so, you know, basically for us, it means the guys hanging out in Radhakund or Govardhan too much, you know, they like that. Or around here, generally we don't have a problem because no one wants to go to Navadvip, so we don't bump into the local Babaji's, because in Vrindavan it's so much easier to move around than we bump into these people. But, you know, like that. Is that yeah, so we have to always be very, very careful about these things. Does that make sense? So by the mundane intelligence, we think, no, it has to be a separate path. That's how I know I'm doing it. But no, it's the same thing, and then it just comes. It's just like, is there a practice for 8-year-old girls to bring about that attraction to boys? Right? No. It's just they turn 12 or 14 and bingo. So all they had to do was practice being proper. What's a proper, what is a training for a girl? How to behave, how to act, what are the different activities? She has to do that, because then that becomes useful in application. Because otherwise, what are they going to do? Otherwise, they get attracted to the boy, but they can't do anything. Then, great. You
know. Then Rasabhas happens.
Yes. Yes, lots and lots of rasabhas. Yes. So that's the whole idea, is that we're very fixed on these activities. These activities that are recommended are activities that go on in the spiritual world. So then you're comfortable doing those activities. Otherwise, then you're not comfortable, then the flute blows, you don't get to go. You know, that's the bottom line. Like that. Therefore, we don't make up our own systems. We just follow the acharyas. That's the meaning of being a rupanuga. We just follow the acharyas. We don't make anything up. We may use our intelligence to appreciate and apply what they give us, but we don't have to make up the structure. We don't have to create this. The structure is already given. We simply have to appreciate it. That's why trying to impose modern structures of you know, knowledge onto the Vedic is a waste of time, because it can't give you what they hope to give. Like that. Because it doesn't work that way. Like that. All it is they'll end up with people that now are in a position to be involved with Krishna, but don't have any actually character and practice to interact. So it's not good. That's why it's very specific. I mean, we're very gentle in dealing with it, but it is very specific. We wouldn't want to be doing anything else. We wouldn't want to be hearing from anybody else. We wouldn't want to be associating with anybody else. Otherwise, you end up somewhere else. You know, you hang around the bus going to Chicago, you may end up in Chicago. You know, so if you didn't want to go to Chicago, you want to go to New York, then you hang around that bus. You know that that's the other bus, but you don't hang out over there. It's just the way it goes. You could say, no, but we're broad-minded, or we want to accommodate. Yes, you can. You know? Don't worry. Every Kali Yuga, there will be Woodstock. And you can go, and you can be the world. You know? And then that'll be happening in the next Kali Yuga, and the next, and the next. And there's 1,000 in a day of Brahma. You know? So, like that, you're going to have plenty of opportunity to have that mood of equality. But you want something specific, you have to go for that specific. So it's just, it's gentle, it's refined, because it's not a matter of it's a rule, it's a matter of it's a taste. That's why we don't, these things aren't pushed. That, we're serving the Krishna's God, and you don't mess with that we can be strong about. but according to the nature of the person, the conditioned nature. But when you're dealing with relationship with Krishna, that's not conditioned nature. That's the inherent nature. So that's just a matter of taste. Does that work? Kind of.
It's too complicated.
Too complicated. Oh, sorry. I thought we were making it really simple. Okay. Okay, so we'll stop here for our break. So when we end this late, do we start on time, or do we have to give that extra time that...
It's a matter of being vital or spontaneous.
So you're saying spontaneous is that we start again at 10 after? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premananda.